from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi highlights role of ASEAN Secretary General and ASEAN Secretariat. Export performance exceeds the target in 2017. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi emphasized the important role of ASEAN Secretary General and ASEAN Secretariat in supporting the ASEAN Community Development Goals. Speaking at the handover ceremony of the Secretary General of ASEAN from Lee Lung Min to Dato' Lim Chok Hoi on Friday in Jakarta, Minister Retno stated that the role of ASEAN Secretary General is needed to ensure that ASEAN as a regional community will be able to work more responsibly and relevantly, namely providing assistance as well as achieving the ASEAN Vision 2025.
We are also in the process of realizing ASEAN Vision 2025. Against this backdrop, the role of ASEAN Secretary General and ASEAN Secretariat are vital and crucial in supporting ASEAN to achieve its institutionalization and community building goals so that ASEAN can be more responsive and relevant by of providing support and advice as requested to ensure that we act in complementarity and also monitoring the progress of our commitment.
Furthermore, Minister Retno views that ASEAN is currently entering the second phase of its 50-year term, the terms in which challenge comes in various phases, starting from the regional disputes up to Terrorism Act. In addition to providing benefit towards people and playing significant role in maintaining peace and stability in the region, according to Retno, ASEAN must contribute more to the global development. She emphasized that ASEAN need unity to strengthen its role in the global community as well as strengthening ASEAN centrality. This year, the construction of new ASEAN Secretariat building located at Jalan Trunojoyo No. 1, South Jakarta, will begin. At a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, January 4th, Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir said that the construction of the ASEAN Secretariat building highlighted Betawi or Batavian cultural art, which is also intended as a reflection of Jakarta as the ASEAN diplomatic center. He added that the construction of the building is also seen as a form of Indonesia's commitment as host country to strengthen the ASEAN Secretariat and make it more efficient. Insert suara di dubbing mengenai preskon Kemlu tentang gedung Sekjen ASEAN. The construction of this building is that Indonesia's contribution can also be intended as a 50-year prize of ASEAN, of course, by again shows the commitment of Indonesia to ASEAN. Obviously, this becomes our commitment to make ASEAN Secretariat more modern, open, efficient, and more effective working to provide benefits for the people of ASEAN. Armanata Nasir further said that the new building of the ASEAN Secretariat will be a center for ASEAN meetings and will bring more guests to Indonesia, especially Jakarta. The new building of the Secretariat also carries the concept of green building or environmentally friendly building with platinum level. This building will consist of two towers, two basements, and 16 floors each. According to the plan, the construction of the new ASEAN Secretariat is expected to be completed by early 2019. Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita said that in 2017, the export performance was very positive. In a press conference held on Thursday, January 4, 2018, he explained that the value of exports reached $170.3 billion in 2017. This value consists of oil and gas exports of $15.50 billion and non-oil exports of $154.80 billion. Non-oil and non-gas exports in January to December 2017 were projected to grow by 17.20% and the highest growth since 2012. Meanwhile, exports in 2018 are targeted to grow by 5% to 7%. Minister Lukita also said that the achievement is not only a success of the Ministry of Trade but also the joint performance of the government of President Joko Widodo.
Di 2017, saya juga mau.
In 2017, I would also like to convey a pride. Our happiness is that the achievements are very positive and our export value is worth $170.3 billion compared to 2016 worth $145.2 billion. Indonesia's State Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno said that the establishment of state-owned oil and gas holding company is aimed at boosting efficiency and encouraging energy self-sufficiency. She said in Jakarta on Thursday, January 4th, that the activities would run as it is, but it would be more efficient. The oil and gas holding company, which would involve PT Pertamina Persero and PT Perusahaan Gas Negara Persero, is expected to strengthen the government's role in the sector. Minister Rini added that Indonesia should have a strong state-owned firm that would be efficient in investment to become a self-reliant country in terms of energy. Thus, she added that the oil and gas holding company, which is planned to be established in the first quarter of 2018, is expected to bring benefits to the country. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs continued to oversee Indonesia's efforts to encourage the process of the Chetan visa exemption for Indonesian citizens, which is currently still under negotiation. Spokesman for the Ministry Armanarta Nasir stated in Jakarta on Thursday that Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi would always bring the matter up whenever she meets the representatives of member countries of the European Union. Indonesia has been listed as one of the countries being considered by the European Union for the exemption of the Schengen visa. She had also reported raised the issue with the European Union's Chief for Foreign Affairs, Federica Mogherini, during her visit to Brussels, Belgium. Nasir noted that the European Union member countries are still carrying out comprehensive discussions regarding the granting of Schengen visa-free policy to proposing countries. Bali Indian Association, IAB, supported recovery of Bali tourism following the eruption of Mount Agung in the recent months. Tourism as main sector of Bali disrupted due to the disaster that occurred since last September 2017. Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika said in Denpasar, Bali on Friday that he really appreciated the Bali Indian Association that supported Bali. The Bali Indian Association IAB will also bring a number of Indian artists to Bali and stage art performances with Balinese artists as one way to boost local tourism. Governor Pastika also said that it will not only strengthen the relationship between art and culture, but also to prove that Bali is safe to visit. Secretary of the IAB, Sonia Kaur, said more than 60 dancers from India will come to Bali on January 27. The event is also fully supported by Paiketan Krama Bali and will be attended by 400 people at Sisar Nawa Culture Park. And the last item, Indian Foreign Minister Sushma Swaraj is to arrive in Indonesia on Friday for a 2-day visit to hold bilateral talks with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi. The two foreign ministers will discuss Indonesia-India strategic partnership during a joint commission meeting scheduled. Indian Foreign Minister Sushma Swaraj arrives in Indonesia on Friday for a two-day visit to hold bilateral talks with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi. The two foreign ministers discusses Indonesia-Indian strategic partnership during a joint commission meeting today, Friday, January the 5th. Listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Retno Marsudi highlights role of ASEAN Secretary General and ASEAN Secretariat. Export performance exceeds the target in 2017. And listeners, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Threat of U.S. Assistance Termination to Palestine. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said on Wednesday that he would not exchange Jerusalem with money or gold. In addition, the Palestinian did not reject the negotiations. Spokesperson of the President, Nabil Abu Rudina, said that President Abbas wants negotiation under international law, and the resolution states that East Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. This statement responds to the statement of U.S. President Donald Trump in social media. If the Palestinian is reluctant to negotiate, in addition, President Trump also threatens not to provide assistance to the Palestine. He made a point because of Abbas' statement that rejected U.S. involvement in peace talks with Israel. If America does not stop the aid, the impact is serious enough for the Palestinian government. The amount of U.S. aid to the Palestine in 2016 reached nearly $320 million for the construction and security of the Palestine. In addition to the assistance, the U.S. provides security mission assistance in Gaza and the West Bank, which reached more than $300 million. But the voice of the U.S. representative of the United Nations, Nikki Haley, is softer that the U.S. will not give more money until the Palestine advances to the negotiation. In addition to threatening the reduction advance to the Palestine, President Donald Trump also threatens the termination of aid to Pakistan. He reasons that it is useless to provide 15-year assistance for Pakistan. Pakistan Foreign Minister Khawaja Muhammad Asif stated that the United States is only covering up its failure in Afghanistan. It is expected that Palestine does not depend on U.S. aid. As a country that supports Palestinian independence, Indonesia can play a major role to invite countries to jointly support for aid fundraising. The Palestinian independence on America aid makes Palestinian government has stronger bargaining position in negotiations with Israel. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on January 5, 1947, when sea battle happened at Cirebon Gulf. On January 5, 1947, the Navy of Republic of Indonesia involved in sea battle with Ship of the Dutch, HRMS Courtenay at Cirebon Gulf. On 4 until 6 January 1947, Indonesia was holding war training. The Indonesian Navy on the training deployed 5 ships, led by First Lieutenant Samadikun. On January 5, Indonesian forces of Navy came out at 6 o'clock from Cirebon seaport to another training place. At a distance of 6 miles, it was seen the Dutch ship, HRMS Courtenay, accompanied by hunting ship. At the distance of 4 miles, the ship of the Dutch sent signal in order Indonesian Navy forces to stop. It was not obeyed, and even First Lieutenant Samadikun ordered the Indonesian Navy ship to hold movement or formation maneuver from line formation to a diamond formation. To see the maneuver, the Dutch ship shot P-8 patrol ship and missed. First Lieutenant Samadikun took the command and ordered the forces to make avoidance while KRI Gajah Mada was in attack position. It was held in order all Indonesian Navy forces did not have swept away. Sea Captain Samadikun, as commander of KRI Gajah Mada, was braved to fight the attack of the Dutch warship. In the sea battle, Samadikun and some officers were killed. The next event was in 1950 when Westerling sent ultimatum to the Republic of the United States of Indonesia. On January 5, 1950, the former Royal Army Captain Dutch East Indies, Raymond Westerling, sent letter to the government of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia, which contained of the letter was an ultimatum. Westerling insisted the government of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia to appreciate the states, especially Pasundan state, and had to recognize the Legion of Ratu Adil as soldiers of Pasundan. The government of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia had to give positive answer in within 7 days, and if refused, then there was a great war. The ultimatum of Westerling certainly caused anxiety not only among the Republic of the United States of Indonesia, but also in the Netherlands and the Dutch High Commissioner who had arrived in Indonesia, Dr. Hirschfeld. Cabinet of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia plied Hirschfeld with questions which made it very uncomfortable. The Dutch Home Minister, Sticker, instructed to Hirschfeld to crack down on all civilian officials and the Dutch military who cooperated with Westerling. On January 10, 1950, Vice President Mohammed Hatta delivered to Hirschfeld that Indonesia had issued a arrest warrant against Westerling. And the last event was in 1963, the anniversary of Navy Women's Corps. Along with the development of Indonesian Navy in early 1960s, the need on power of women in the Navy workplace increasingly felt. The establishment of Women's Corps in Navy was related on aspects of organizational efficiency, because there were some certain fields which were suitable to be done by women. The idea to establish Navy Women's Corps was initiated by Commodore Yosudarso, then implemented by the Minister and Commander of the Navy, Rear Admiral R.A. Martadinata, by issuing Ministerial and Navy Commander Decree No. 540124 on 26 of June 1962 about the establishment of the Navy Women's Corps. Then the decree was followed by the recruitment and education of prospective members and 12 officers as a result. Therefore, on January 5, 1963, inauguration was held for the first batch of members of Navy Women's Corps by Chief of Naval Staff Rear Admiral R.A. Martadinata at Navy headquarters. The date of January 5 is decided as the anniversary of Navy Women's Corps. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll invite you to talk about poor people in Indonesia are reduced. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BBS, noted, in September 2017, the number of poor people in Indonesia reached 26.58 million. The number decreased 4.28% compared to March 2017. Therefore, within 6 months, Indonesia's poor population was reduced by 1.19 million people. Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Ketut Suharyanto, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 2nd, said, "The figure is an exciting achievement." He asserted, "The decline in the number of poor people in 2017 is the best achievement in 7 years. September 2017 is the best achievement. It was the fastest decline when compared with the last 7 years since 2011. From March 2017 to September 2017, the percentage of the poor fell down 0.52%. Suharyanto further said, the decline of the poor was happened both in the village and in the rural area. According to him, the percentage of poor people in the village is much higher than in the municipality. This shows that disparities in towns and villages are quite high. He explained that the factors causing the depletion of the poor are controlled inflation, the wage of farmers and laborers increased, as well as the nominal wages of the construction workers. The price of some food commodities have also declined, such as sugar. In addition, the pre-prosperous rice program has also been received by target families, and family health program has a positive impact on reducing the number of poor people. The Hope Family Program also contributes greatly to reducing poverty. Meanwhile, Deputy for Social Statistics Sairi Hasbullah said, infrastructure development is also very influential on the decline of poverty. This can be seen from the rate of poverty reduction in eastern Indonesia. The decline in poverty in West Papua and Maluku is the largest. The same thing was also said by Social Minister Kofifah Indar Parawansa that BBS data is a proof of the effectiveness of programs that have been adopted many parties in overcoming the poverty issues in Indonesia. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS data shows that the Family Health Program has reached the target so that poverty goes down significantly. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi emphasized the important role of ASEAN Secretary General and ASEAN Secretariat in supporting the ASEAN Community Development Goals. Speaking at the handover ceremony of the Secretary General of ASEAN from Lee Lung Min to Dato Lim Chok Khoi on Friday in Jakarta, Minister Retno stated that the role of ASEAN Secretary General is needed to ensure that ASEAN as a regional community will be able to work more responsibly and relevantly, namely providing assistance as well as achieving the ASEAN Vision 2025. This year, the construction of new ASEAN Secretariat building located at Jalan Trunojoyo No. 1 South Jakarta will begin. At a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, January 4th, Indonesian Foreign Minister spokesperson Arman Atanasir said that the construction of the ASEAN Secretariat building highlighted Betawi or Batavian cultural art, which is also intended as a reflection of Jakarta as the ASEAN diplomatic center. Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita said that in 2017, the export performance was very positive. In a press conference held on Thursday, he explained that the value of export reached $170.3 billion in 2017. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs continues to oversee Indonesia's efforts to encourage the process of the Schengen visa exemption for Indonesian citizens, which is currently still under negotiation. Bali Indian Association IAB supported recovery of Bali tourism following the eruption of Mount Agung in the recent months. And listeners, that was Newsin Brief from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Into this edition, we will invite you to have a culinary tour to Gorontalo. Stay tuned. Listener, Karawo or Krawang is the traditional cloth of Gorontalo province. It is the product of handicraft which has been inherited from generation to generation since the 17th century. Karawo is the abbreviation for Kayita, Randeya, and Wa'ala, which has been inherited from generation to generations since the 17th century. Karawo is the abbreviation for Kayita, Randeya, and Wa'ala, which means a motif used on Karawo cloth. The motifs shape like hooks and chains. This kind of handicraft is made into various designs such as clothes, handkerchief, tablecloth, bed sheet, etc. Karawo is not only interpreted as cloth, but it also means cookies. This traditional cookies is adapted from the Karawo fabric motifs, so it is called Karawo cookies. Listener, Karawo cookies are made of butter, fine granulated sugar, eggs, milk, vanilla, maize flour, and wheat flour. While the ingredients to decorate the cookies are fine granulated sugar, albumen, and vinegar. To make the cookies, firstly the butter and fine granulated sugar are blended, then added with egg yolks. Then the milk, butter, maize or corn flour, and vanilla are added to form the dough. Later, the dough is printed based on the design. Generally, the shape of cookies looks like heart and round. After the cookies are printed, those are baked on the oven. When it is done and cooked, the cookies can be decorated. The ingredients, fine granulated sugar, albumen, and vanillin, are mixed until the color becomes white. Then, it was divided into 5 parts to be given the different colors, such as white, yellow, blue, red, and green. Once the decoration materials are ready, they can be used to decorate the cookies based on Karawa fabric patterns. Listener, it takes quite a long time to make the cookies, especially to decorate it. In order to make the cookies look attractive, it is required great diligence and thoroughness, especially when making the hand embroidery of Karawa fabric. Besides the beautiful decoration, the cookies is also delicious. Karawa cookies taste really sweet along with crunchy texture. The cookies are usually eaten with tea or coffee. Listener, in Gorontalo, Karawa cookies is usually served during religious holidays such as Eid al-Fitri. Moreover, Karawa cookies are often bought as parcels and souvenirs from Gorontalo. Almost all of souvenir shops in Gorontalo sell the cookies in the neat packaging. It is sold with 100,000 rupiah up to 200,000 rupiah, depend on the size of packaging. Listener, that was today's regular Indonesian Wonder with the topic of Karawa cookies from Gorontalo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about sausage made of seaweed. Stay tuned. The potential of seaweed in Indonesia has a bright prospect, and it becomes one of export commodities in Indonesia. One type of seaweed that has high economic value is brown seaweed. It contains odium and active compounds such as phenol. With this background, the Bogor Agriculture Institute IPB made innovation of seaweed sausage. This team is chaired by M. Habibur Rahman with the members Desta Elpina, Arif Wardana Herlambang, Fajriansa Hendra Pratama, and Miftah Rizki Islamoriza. These five students are recorded as the students of Agribusiness Department of Management and Faculty of Economy. Habibur feels that so imut sausage is healthy one because it is made of seaweed and not using preservatives. Seaweed also contains protein, carbohydrate, and fiber that is good to consume every day because it functions to organize human metabolism. One of the members of the team, Desta Elpina, explained that the process to market their product is going on. The team tries to manage the trade license business, including finding partners to mass produce. Desta added that the first fund to process a sausage is from the Ministry of Education, Research and Technology, amounting about 10 million rupiah. On the first stage, Soimut sausage is marketed in campuses. The response from the market is that many students love the 16,000 rupiah product. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informed you about Soimut, healthy sausage made by IPB students. I'm Nico Kusumawati, thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment introducing Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present Dangdut Song featuring Via Valen. Well, let's listen to the song entitled Secawan Madu by Via Valen.
Jadi
Listener, the singer with full name Maulidia Octavia is known by the stage name Via Fallen. Via Fallen has actually started her singing career since she was 15 years old. However, the dangdut singer who comes from East Java has started her professional career since 2006. Blessed with a beautiful and melodious voice and pretty face, Via is easily known by Indonesian dangdut music lovers. She also has a lot of fans from various regions in Indonesia called Vianisti. Inaugurated on September 24, 2010, the name Via Fallen itself is increasingly known since singing the song Selingkuh, which was released in early 2015. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Sayang.
Apa kowe krungu carite atiku mengharap engkau kembali sayang nanti memutih rambutku rapat kau luntur tresnoku wes tak copong lalike jenengmu soko atiku sak tenane ra ngapusi stresno sliramu kupa pujane ati nanging kowe ora reti kowe sing tak wanti-wanti malah cepul saiki kowe mlenjani janji cari sehidup semati nanging opo bukti kowe medot tresnoku demi wedokan liyo yo wis ora popo insyaallah aku bisa
Aku masa
listener, Via Valen is known as a singer who takes the genre of dangdut koplo. Until now, she is also known as the queen of pop koplo because she often sings pop songs which are rearranged with the rhythm of dangdut koplo. In addition, she is also known as a dangdut singer who is different from other Indonesian dangdut singers. Some songs that she sings have Japanese lyrics, and on stage, she always performs simply, gets dressed casually, and makes up naturally. Although not all music lovers understand Japanese language, the music, which is nice to hear and accompanied by tunable vocal dangduts, makes music lovers to receive a good song of Via Valen. One of Via's Japanese songs is the song Sayang, the song you have been listening to. This song tells the story of someone who is left by her lover without reason, but because she still loves him, she also hopes that her lover will come back to him again. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bojoku Galak and Cinta Sehidup Semati by Via Valen. Sampai berjumpa, till we meet again.
Kau minta maaf padaku. Aku ingin engkau pergi dalam hidupku tanpa dirimu. Tapi ku tak rela meninggalkan dirimu, sayang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Pada diriku masih terasa di hatiku. Kini dirimu bukanlah milikku lagi. Berakhir sudah cintaku dengan dirimu. Kau memilih dirinya bukan diriku. Sakit, sakit hatiku.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.